KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. I'm Scott Schaefer. Coming up, as pre-holiday shopping peaks, some do-it-yourself gift ideas. Also, the high school choir that's giving kids in Fresno a chance to see the world. And the state's poet laureate and other writers share their holiday memories and resentments. It's the California Report. The clock is winding down on this year's holiday shopping season, but if you're like many Californians, you're not done buying gifts. Not yet. With Christmas and Hanukkah both falling on December 25th this year, it's making for something of a retail frenzy. We visited the San Francisco Shopping Center this week to hear how folks are spending their precious last days on the prowl for presents.
I am doing last-minute Christmas shopping. It's crazy here. Spent most of my money at Nordstrom, and for my honey, and my little brother, and my papa, my sweet 80-year-old papa, got him some handkerchiefs, so I'm done.
For Christmas presents, the best thing I think I have bought was a Visa gift card. It was $25, and you can shop anywhere, so I don't know what people like, and I'm bad with gifts, that's why.
I'm shopping with my husband and my children for Christmas. I bought a purse at Nordstrom's, and it looks like they've bought a whole array of different things for themselves.
Yeah, I just let them go pick out what they want and buy it for them, and then they get what they like. Last year, I bought them all gift certificates, but this year, I thought I'd just let them actually come pick it out.
My brothers get sweats because that's what they wanted. One brother wants some jeans, so he gets jeans and tennis shoes. My sister-in-laws want sweaters and pajamas. My nieces want dolls. You know, they're just very... very basic. They just send me a list of exactly so I know what I want to go get. I don't have to worry.
Okay, so you just can't deal with another day fighting the crowds. Well, here's another option. Make your own presents. 4 years ago, two California women launched Ready Made Magazine, which some call a hipper version of Martha Stewart Living. The goal, to inspire creativity by helping readers put a personal touch on homemade projects. Think clocks with chopstick hands or tubular FedEx boxes as hanging CD holders. We visited Grace Hawthorne and Shoshana Berger at their ready-made studios in Berkeley this week to get some last-minute holiday gift ideas. First up, Grace's version of picture frames.
Everybody has a photo of a friend or a family that they want to share, and they always want to display it. So anything can make a clever frame. You could get the jewel case of an old CD and put photos in that. You could use an empty jar, and that could be a beautiful cylindrical kind of clear frame. You could also use an old Altoids tin. You know, it's sort of like an enlarged metal locket that you have sitting on your desk. Another really easy gift idea is a clock, which we also have. We have a chopstick clock in our new book, but anything can make a clock. You know, a crushed soda can, a hubcap, an old LP sleeve, and those can also be personal expressions of yourself, depending on what object you pick to stick the clock mechanism on.
What do you think are the biggest obstacles? Is it time? Is it sort of a fear that I'm not creative enough? What do they have to overcome to do this?
The biggest obstacle is really inertia or the fear of starting. But, you know, sometimes you're overburdened with the thought of doing something, whereas the act of actually doing it is nothing. And that's, I mean, these projects are very much like that. So once you begin doing a project, I think people will begin to realize, oh my goodness, this is so easy, and I am a craftsman.
Does it help to have like a 5 or 6-year-old around to inspire you?
Well, you know, I have to admit, being a new mother, that having a child in the house definitely forces you to be more imaginative. You know, so an empty paper towel roll is a telescope. It's my arm. It's a ship. It's 1,000 things to a 2-year-old. And that's something that I think, you know, we lose as we age and become very jaded.
You know, it's so funny. When you said that, it just reminded me when I was a kid, I took a paper towel roll and turned it into Santa Claus. Painted it red, and I had a buckle on it, and we put cotton on it for a beard, and I hadn't thought about that in, you know, 25 years.
There you go. Now you can make that when you get home.
And that's right. I did it with my grandmother. Great. Well, now I'm in the mood. So can you show us maybe some other things that you can do? You've got some empty jars here on the table. What are you going to do with those, Shauna?
So with those empty jars, we are going to make snow globes, a really fun and easy gift. And you can make these snow globes out of everyday jars, peanut butter jars, mustard jars, the things you would ordinarily throw in your recycle bin. You unscrew the jar, and you put a little bit of adhesive into the lid. And, you know, if your lid is very deep, you're going to want to prop it up with some washers or a few quarters or something, because you're going to actually put your figurine on top of there, and you want your figurine to show. So after you put in a little platform, you're going to put in some glue. And while that's drying, we're going to fill this jar up with water. And you're going to pour a touch of glycerin, which is available at craft stores, into this jar with the water. And the reason you need glycerin is because notice the way when you turn a snow globe over, the little flakes of snow waft around. They don't just fall to the ground.
And it's
very naturalistic. It's the glycerin. It's the unctuous glycerin.
Does it make the water a little sticky?
It does. You also, of course, need glitter, which is the snow. And this is a great project for Californians because, of course, we don't have seasons. So the only way to have a season is to trap it in glass.
It's as close to a white Christmas as you're going to get.
Exactly.
Unless you go to Tahoe.
Exactly. So we sprinkle in a little glitter. And then once this is dry, you screw the lid back on, shake it up, and look at that, white Christmas.
Shoshana Berger is the editor, and Grace Hawthorne is the publisher of Ready Made magazine. Their new book is called Ready Made, How to Make Almost Anything. A town chorus in Oaxaca, Mexico, where Noche de Rabanos, or Night of Radishes, is celebrated each December 23rd. Author Rose Castillo-Gilbo's family believed Christmas just wasn't Christmas if it wasn't celebrated in Mexico. She explains why in this story, taken from her book, Farmworker's Daughter, Growing Up Mexican in America.
My parents, who grew up in Mexico, felt awkward imitating American holiday traditions. They were appalled by the mistletoe custom, disliked the taste of eggnog, they thought it a poor substitute for rompope, and snickered at Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman. Nostalgically, they spoke of posadas, elaborate creches, and los tres reyes magos, the three wise men. We felt detached from American celebrations, but like polite guests, we'd sample the traditions, hum the carols, admire the ornate decorations glowing around houses at night, bake the cookies, but with great restraint. We were waiting to fill our hunger for celebration until we got to Mexico. Our reward was the family. For my parents, it was an opportunity to have meaningful conversations, to gossip and share joys and sorrows. For me, an only child, it was wonderful to roam the neighborhood with a pack of cousins, fighting, playing, and defending each other from bullies. It filled the emptiness created by my psychological isolation in American culture and the physical isolation that came from living on a remote farm. And then there were all the parties, bazaars at the church, posadas in neighbors' homes, refreshments including steaming dark Mexican chocolate with fragrant cinnamon sticks, freshly baked plump tamales, churros, and buñuelos. As in a musical comedy, songs arose out of the blue in the form of a musician with a guitar, a record player, a radio, or a cappella singing among adults. On Christmas Eve, my aunt prepared the family feast. She cooked all day and laid out a sumptuous buffet on a white tablecloth embroidered with large red poinsettias. At 11:30 p.m., everyone joined the parade of neighbors going to Misa de Gallo, midnight mass. The church filled up and crowds spilled into the streets. My cousins and I sleepily propped each other up, alert only to the sweet smell of frankincense and the high notes sung by the choir. After Mass, we crawled into bed, exhausted and cold, but anxious to open our modest presents in the morning. The celebrations continued through New Year's Eve. Volleys of fireworks exploded throughout the city, and we joined until our own bag of red firecrackers was empty and our noses were burning from the smell of sulfur. We'd run home where the adults were already having hot, steaming bowls of menudo. I love these Mexican holidays, the nonstop partying, the food, the cousins, the family, the warmth and the sharing. But one year, the year it rained and rained, my father didn't say, "Okay, pack up." A season of rain meant he couldn't work in the fields laying down irrigation pipes. Rain meant he couldn't drive the tractor to make those neat, long rows. Rain meant no money for Christmas in Mexico. Everyone shared the disappointment. My mother didn't even want to buy a tree, but she did. A little raggedy pine for me. And on Christmas morning, there were three presents under the tree. All of them for me. We never missed another Christmas in Mexico after that, even if it meant, as my mother said, con sacrificios.
Rose Castillo-Gilbo is the author of Farmworker's Daughter. The peal of bells can be heard everywhere this time of year, from churches to shopping malls. The sound inspired rancher and cowgirl poet Virginia Bennett to write Bells of December.
A heavy strand of engraved brass bells hangs in the dusty barn along a pegged wall, and when lifted alone or swung over a shoulder, their sound seems too loud, too noisome to haul. Yet, when buckled, just barely, around the stout girth of my winter-coated black percheron mare, their jangling is muted, their harshness transformed into a bouncing, sublime, snowy prayer. As with the instrument in a handbell choir, whose tone is softened when held to the breast, this solstice symphony sings to frosted land a rare melody both gifted and blessed. It's a lesson that skims through the psyche, like sled runners through a snow-covered dell. A song, or a poem, or the word from a loved one rings truest when to the heart it is held.
Cowgirl poet Virginia Bennett helps her husband Pete run a ranch near Paso Robles. The holidays can trigger strong emotions when happy recollections of childhood and family collide with feelings of love and loss. For California's poet laureate Al Young, Christmas stirs vivid memories of his best friend.
Roland Navarro, 1939 to 1961. I leave you on that downtown street of how many Detroit winters ago, standing in front of the March of Dimes display in a window, wincing aloud to me of suffering people all over the world, where a boy cut out of cardboard on crutches implores, "Please won't you help? Please won't you give?" You were home from West Point, the holidays, still owing me a big bottle of vodka from some high school bet that's as dark and forgotten as any old joke from the shadowy past. You wanted to be a big general down in South America, Argentina, where your skilled dad took refuge after 20 years of visiting you weekends at his parents' home, your grandparents' house on Claremont, not far from 12th Street, where we each caught buses, sometimes together, and lived straight out of our heads, littered with print, pictures, and old pianos, you Chicano, me black, both of us niggers. We loved the same girls more than once, and you wrote in a letter how I should think twice about becoming a poet or artist of any kind because the mad world had no more need of that kind of craziness. You told me, be a soldier. Get in on the take by starting at the top. How many times we played your Napoleon game with paper ships and troops in war-torn Novembers. Cursing like a sailor, upsetting my mother, you wrote enough of an epic novel to impress the hell out of me, along with your drawings and that piano piece of yours called Funeral Bells. So your father remarried, a woman our age, leaving you with snapshots of your mother, a legend who died before you'd learned to love. I leave you watery-eyed in front of that paper publicity cripple, you who wanted to rule men tall in your shiny black Argentine boots, frightened by a tenderness your heart couldn't rule. Here the world ends. Here the sun's hidden. Come that summer, you'd finally marry the goddess you always accused me of seeking. You did it. You did it. You outfoxed fate. You survived the honor system and graduated clean. All that Perez Prado we'd been through together, all that Mingus, Debussy, Swan Lake, and the Penguins, Rambo, Charlie Parker, Tolstoy, Cezanne, Joe Loco, wasn't enough to head off an ending I'd rather imagine than know, as I did Vivian or Nina, as I know the moon of honey Mexico, where you died in an auto crash that killed you outright and left your bride crippled like that poster child. I think of you always. I even hum your song, here where what's right must collide with what's wrong.
Al Young is California's poet laureate. He read from his book, Heaven, Poems, 1956 to 1990. It's hard to go anywhere this holiday season without hearing a rendition of Jingle Bells. In Fresno, a group of teenagers in a very unusual choir is caroling all over town and breaking down barriers through their music. From the Central Valley Bureau, Sasha Coca brings us their story.
Follow me. It's on the and of four. Follow me. Right? Go back to the same place. That was better, tenors. Remember, this is an English folk song. And
see the flowing bowl before us. La 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 la.
Bob Bullwinkle is standing in the practice room directing the 24 members of the Sunnyside High School Chamber Choir. He gestures for the teens to open their mouths wider, to exaggerate their smiles and facial expressions.
Stop. Are you feeling those ha-ha-has right in your belly? Okay, are you really? We've got to start acting this song or it's not going to be entertaining. You're not into the spirit of what it is. This is the cold Russian winter. This is Cossacks with fur caps on, with big coats and scarves.
Most of these students have never heard of a Cossack. Russia and Europe are faraway places they've never seen. Many of the choir members were born in Laos, Thailand, or Latin America. They live in an impoverished neighborhood in southeast Fresno that's often plagued by gang violence. 16-year-old Nucci Yang's family is Hmong, originally from Laos. She says the choir works because everyone is so different.
Most of the choirs are just all white people, you know, like all like. But Sunnyside, we're all different kind of people, you know, and like not just white people can sing. It takes everybody to sound that good.
I'm gonna sing, 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 sing heavenly melodies when I see that child. I'm gonna sing, 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 sing heavenly melodies when I see that child.
If you just sing with your heart, then you know everything's gone. You're singing to people you already know because you're singing from your heart.
Nucci's mom, Mei Yang, had never seen a choir before. Even though she doesn't understand the words, she can feel the harmony.
She tells me that she could feel like her body all goosebump, you know, and then she says she feels happy that she knows that her daughter is there, you know, making that music.
Tenor Will Smith is a football player who plans to attend college next year on an athletic scholarship. He says the choir has helped him as an African-American understand other cultures.
Music can help break down that wall, that barrier that we put around ourselves, you know. It's a comfort zone sometimes with people, and we are always afraid of what we don't understand or what we don't know. So my mom never knew what a Hmong person was, you know, and when we came here, we got to understand and know their culture and everything. It's awesome that we have a new experience to put under our belt.
And soon these choir members will board a plane, many of them for the first time. The choir has been invited to sing at Notre Dame Cathedral and in Fresno's sister cities in Italy and Germany. Their parents can't afford to pay for their trip abroad, so the students are raising money by performing nearly 50 concerts this holiday season.
But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm.
Each concert nets at least $300 for the trip fund. And, says choir director Bullwinkle, it teaches the students important lessons.
Strangely enough, they don't see much of Fresno. So when we go out and visit the Superior Court judges, or we visit the Rotary Club or the Fresno gastroenterologist. They see people that they wouldn't normally meet on a daily basis, and they learn to talk to them and learn what their life is like. And that sort of gradually takes the blinders away.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen.
And he says the audience gains something too.
It gives the audience hope for the future. When they see Asian faces and black faces and Hispanic faces and Caucasian faces, and they hear the beautiful music that they create.
For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
That's the California Report for this holiday weekend, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our choir director is Susie Racho. Seal Muller wrapped the packages with help from Paul Ancour, Danny Bringer, and Howard Gelman. This week we say goodbye to our intern elves. John Kane, Allison Johnson, and Kasia Newman are returning to the North Pole for a well-deserved rest, and we wish them all the best. Stacey Bond and Erica Kelly lit the menorah this week. Our senior dreidel spinner is Ingrid Becker. Susan Kennedy is our managing reindeer. The executive potato latkes taster is Raul Ramirez. I'm Scott Schaefer. Thanks for listening. Have a safe and fun holiday weekend. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Healthcare Foundation, committed to improving California's healthcare delivery and financing systems, on the web at chcf.org. The James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California. TIAA CREF, serving those who serve others by offering financial services for the greater good. TIAA-CREF.org. Charitable Auto Resources, a full-service vehicle donation program management firm, which helps nonprofit organizations increase their revenue. Online at charitableautoresources.com. And the Stewart Foundation, for coverage of important issues in public education.